I just am really privileged to be with you this morning and am thankful to be here. I want to bring you greetings from a broader family, actually, the Evangelical Missionary Church and our president, John Cressman. And we continue to thank you for your participation in this family that we call the EMCC as we follow Jesus on mission together. And again, I work as a regional minister, yes, still, in Western Canada, and I work from Southern Saskatchewan into BC, and I have had the privilege of being on a sabbatical for 4 months in June through October, so I'm kind of making my way back into ministry things and new things now as I'm coming back. My role has been just to work with pastors and church leaders and congregations for the purpose of catalyzing, networking, coaching, resourcing towards the mission of making disciples who make disciples. And so, yeah, Willie, you can go to the next slide. If you haven't seen my family for a while, this is us. On your left is my daughter, Jennifer. She's our middle child, and she works in Calgary in social work. And then next to Jennifer is my youngest son, Nathan, and we were just with them last weekend. Nathan and Sarah beside him is there in Abbotsford, and Nathan is doing youth pastoring in Abbotsford with the only churches that exist in Abbotsford are Mennonite churches. So that's the way it is. And then in the middle there, kind of looking a little bit like Jesus, but not quite. He's not a beach guy, really, but is our oldest son, Kyle. And then next to Kyle is our son-in-law, James, and he's the tallest there. So he's married to our daughter, Jennifer, who's on the end. And James also works in Calgary as a contractor. And then beside James is my wife, Diana, and myself. And so that's our family, and really continue to appreciate family. You know, as you get older, you appreciate family, kids, and they're important. And we have a spiritual family as well, don't we? And we appreciate this spiritual family that we have. So as a spiritual family of Evangelical Missionary Church, we actually have a president, John Cressman. And we are focused on these next years on what we call a compass point. So just go to the next slide, Willie. And these 4 points in the compass are simply ways of directing us towards the mission that we continue to have of making disciples who make disciples. And so this last regional gathering that we had, which was online, but it was focused on being future ready. Now, coming out of the COVID pandemic, if anybody remembers that, I don't know, but things changed, actually, from that. And so what does it look like to be a part of the church that God has called us to be future ready in where he's called us to be next? Because What maybe we used to do doesn't always connect with people that we're trying to reach and connect with these days. So we're proactively learning and preparing and adjusting and positioning ourselves into the future context. Does that mean we've changed our message? Not at all. We haven't changed our message at all. It remains the same in how we approach and how we connect with people. That may have changed somewhat, but the message continues to be the same. And how are we ready to do that? Coming into this our assembly, which actually is coming in April 27 through 29, and it will be just outside of Toronto in Stouffville, Ontario, we'll be gathering. The plan is to gather in person. That's what we intend on doing. But our focus will move to being in Christ-like character. And again, I think I've discovered both in myself and seen it in our churches that the reminder that being Christ-like in our character is most important. I don't know if it happened in Mountain View, but there were some challenges and disagreements among churches, among people who attended churches, and how we approached the pandemic. We wanted to gather together, all these things. And what we're wanting to do is remind us again that we're called to be Christ-like in our character, regardless of maybe our differences in opinions. We're called to be Christ-like in our character. So we want to focus on that. We want to be multiplication-minded again, so that will be coming the following year. And it doesn't mean we're forgetting about being future-focused or Christ-like character. But I'm just reminding you where we're trying to head in these next few years. And so disciples who make disciples, who have leaders, developing leaders, and are developing churches and communities that are multiplying those communities as well. And then actively engaged to mobilize our pastors and our people on the mission together. So we're following Jesus on mission together, and we want to continue that focus. And again, our focus is in our community. Our focus is in our region, in our area. Our focus is cross-culturally and towards the world. I mean, that's what Jesus called us to. In Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So that continues to be where we're headed together. And as a denomination, we're focused on doing more together. It's important. We local congregations maybe have missionaries that they've been sending out. But we can do more together, and we want to focus on that. I just want to bring a quick story from Dan and Anne Marie Chapel in Mexico. You can go to the next slide. And Dan is actually focused in Mexico, but he's moving to broaden the ministry, the personal ministry, and take on into the Latin America context, the broader Latin American context. And Dan tells a story of a church in Ecuador serving their community because the COVID had taken its toll. And money in Ecuador was totally useless in some areas for a period of time. But the citizens of this town where Dan was connecting with needed to trade with one another to obtain food. The problem was that they didn't trust each other. And so in response, a local church started a bartering trade market and soon became a center for trade in that community. The citizens trusted that they wouldn't be cheated by the church. And by helping in this way, the congregation members built relationships with people who would never have come into the church under any other circumstances. And so God even brings his purposes together in challenges. And we can see this. By the way, you can read more about Dan and Marie and other missionaries on our webpage, emcc.ca. And so I'd encourage you to go there. Today, I want to talk about following Jesus on mission together, about discipling. If you've heard me speak before, you know O'Brien's going to talk about disciple making. He just always does that. And that is because it's our main mission. I'm just amazed, again today, as we're thinking about Christmas, that we, this person who was born in a stable, some think it was a cave, grew up in a place, in a nowhere place in the world at that time. It was not hardly on the map. Didn't really have any political power at all. Simply taught a message of good news to people and died and then rose to life. But this backwater place brought into this world a person who changed the world and continues to change the world today. And it is because of the way that Jesus lived, died and lived again, that this continues to move on. I mean, there's been great people in this world who've made huge impact, but nothing compared to Jesus, nothing at all. As we think of following Jesus, I think we have to remember that discipleship doesn't happen automatically. It's kind of like parenting. Raising kids does not happen automatically. Now, I don't know if you have kids, you kind of maybe you think it does happen, but it doesn't happen automatically. It's a challenge, and it takes work, intentional, continual work. And Jesus called his first followers to follow him, and he would help them make fishers of men. And when we talk about making disciples who make disciples, there's probably two questions that need to be in the foremost of our minds. What is your plan for making disciples? And that can be me as an individual or as a church community. What is your plan, and how are you carrying out that plan? So as a denomination, we came up with seven statements that describe for us what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, and also then how to practically practice what that means. These aren't magical statements, so you could reformat them or maybe come up with three statements. I mean, that's good as well. But for us, these focus for us what it means to follow Jesus. So you can read them up here. Let's just say these out loud together. Can we do that? Just to remind ourselves, these are statements that maybe they help me. I work through this every day to remind me what it means to follow Jesus. So let's just read them out loud together. I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus on my journey. I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, and character. I am learning to love God and love others. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. I am helping someone, and someone is helping me become a reproducing follower of Jesus. I am participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. And again, this is a platform that I use to help me in following Jesus and help me to disciple others in following Jesus. You know, somebody said to me, there's another serious question that it's like those two questions I mentioned before. Where in the ministry of the church are you seeing people start following Jesus and becoming disciples who make disciples? That's a real central question. And we need to ask that. And as we look at this life of Jesus, how did he do this? How did he live his life so that the people who followed him could then pass this on to others who would pass this on to others who would pass this on to others? How did he do this? And just go to the next slide. And I'm just going to focus on this little kind of triangle for a quick moment. Jesus had three dimensions of his life. Now, you can maybe say this differently or other ways, but there were basically three dimensions he focused on in his life. And it can seem throughout the Gospels, he did this. he had a relationship up with the Father, and he focused that relationship horizontally, and he had a relationship in with his spiritual family, with his disciples who he called, and then he had a relationship focus outward into the world, into the community, into the region that God had placed him in. So those three dimensions were part of Jesus' life. And I have to be honest with you that if I think of this three-dimensional life of Jesus, there are some times that maybe I think I might be a little bit one-dimensional, right? And, you know, if you're a one-dimensional person and you turn sideways, you disappear. Am I gone yet? Anyway, you know, you see those three dimensions, but there's some times that I can live my life one-dimensionally. I'm an introvert. I'm one of those people who like COVID didn't affect much. Being alone is okay. You know, it's just kind of that was a little bit like me. I love to be with my family. Had opportunities to do that, but sometimes even like relaxing at home and watching church on TV or something like that, that was okay to a point. And connecting with neighbors. I would read my Bible. I would have my time with God. But sometimes connecting with others outside the church, it just wasn't part of my life. And it continues to be a challenge. And it continues to be a challenge for me, even in my own family. There's some of my kids right now aren't following Jesus. And I go, well, how am I modeling that into their lives? How do I model that into their lives? So as we think of even ourselves and the church, how do we model this three-dimensional life that Jesus modeled and exemplified for us? I know that churches throughout Canada and across the world, they've seen people coming back out of COVID that people aren't returning. They're no longer around, and we're wondering where'd they go? Like what happened? Sometimes it can be that disciples making disciples rarely happens because it's something we don't have time for, or we don't have the investment that we need. And this image of a three-dimensional ministry of Jesus is, again, like that three-legged stool, that if you have one of the legs kind of chopped off or isn't there, the stool doesn't really support its purpose at all of holding somebody up. So let's dive in here just quickly for a moment into this three-dimensional life of Jesus, the Jesus-shaped life. And it really speaks to the way of Jesus. In Luke 6, verses 12 to 19, we see just one example of this three-dimensional life. And it's throughout the Gospels. Time and time again, we see this. But here's one example in Luke 6, 12 to 19. And Luke writes in verse 12, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." Again, you can find that phrase numerous points in the Gospels. "And when day came, he called his disciples and chose them from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who is called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood in a level place with a great cloud of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for the power came out from him, and he healed them all. Lord, we come before you today, and we know that your word just speaks clearly of it's a living word and your life. And we want to hear you speak to us today about the life that you lived and the life that you want us to live as your followers. So lead us today. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So Jesus had this relationship up with the Father. He went up to the mountain and prayed. And again, this isn't the only time he did that. There were times he was out alone in the wilderness and he prayed, and sometimes the disciples didn't know where he was, but he had a regular pattern of going up to the Father. In fact, in John 5, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He only does what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. So then you will truly be astonished." So Jesus was just doing what the Father showed him, told him, what he saw the Father doing. And he built this relationship with the Father. He listened to the Father. What he heard the Father say, he would say. He did what the Father was doing. And I have to say that in my own life, I have a regular discipline of prayer, of reading the Scripture, of seeking to have time to listen to God, to journal, to what I feel God has been saying to me, and how I should respond to that. And I'm growing in these times of just pausing, and even in times of solitude, and finding time to listen to God. And it's a journey for me. I still am growing in it. It's not something that I've mastered or have it all together. I have to take the time to do that. It's the same for each of us. How are we doing at spending time up with the Father? Whether it's a daily time of prayer, of talking and listening to God, not just making a list of what I want, but rather, God, what do you want? What are you asking? What are you saying to me? Of Scripture reading and reflecting and hearing what God might be saying, not just at that time where the Scripture was written, but it's a living word that's speaking to me today. So what is the word saying to me today? And taking time to even be out in God's creation and just understand that God has created this world for us to be in and to enjoy and to be with him in it. And we need the Spirit's help to do this. This isn't something that I kind of do automatically on my own. I need the help of the Spirit working in me and through me as I am in this relationship up with the Father. So Jesus had this time up with the Father. He needed it in his life. I need it in my life. Then he went in with his disciples, and we see from Luke that he came down the mountain. He had followers around him, and out of those followers, he chose 12 that he called apostles. And they became his spiritual community and his family. I always get a little nervous when I speak. I don't know why it's still after all these years, but he brought his disciples together, and he did this 24/7 walk with them. It's incredible. Now we look forward to times like on Sundays where we can come together, we gather, we worship, but Jesus had these people 24/7, and we kind of go, well, how do we do that? kind of live with our families, but what do we do with that? Jesus said to his disciples in John 13, I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And again, Jesus built a relationship with them. He taught them. But he didn't stop there. He modeled for them what it was to follow God. So he was modeling this Jesus-shaped life for them while he was with them. He built this spiritual family. Over the last several years, I've been using the Way of Jesus platform to help me to kind of build into the lives of some others. And so I've been involved with what we call Way of Jesus huddles. And usually they're huddles of 4, 5, 6 people that we just gather on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. And I would say, for me, it became more than just a small group of sharing, you know, what the scripture said, which is important, by the way. I'm not trying to diminish that. But it became about listening to God together and hearing together what God was saying to me, and then keeping others keeping me accountable, I keeping others accountable into what God was saying and moving them onward towards how they were growing and following Jesus. And I continue to grow through these encounters. These are important to me. I need other people in my life to help me on this journey of following Jesus. This is a spiritual family that, yes, we have discussions in our own biological family about Jesus. Yes, we do. My wife and I do. We pray and things like that. But this broader spiritual family is also important. So what about us? We come together in weekly gatherings like this, and this is great. This is so important. But our spiritual family is more than this. Who's walking with us on a regular basis in our life to help us grow in following Jesus and helping us ask questions? What's God saying to me today? How can I help, hear from that and figure it out and grow in that in my life? And how am I going to respond? How am I going to follow him in obedience? And maybe I need some people to keep me accountable to do that. And again, it's with the Spirit's help. It's not just on my own. It's with the Spirit's help on that. And then finally, Jesus, in this passage in Luke, he goes out immediately with his followers. And this great multitude is pictured here from the whole surrounding region. From even Tyre and Sidon, like surrounding areas, people were coming to Jesus. And why? Because they had a deep need. They knew that they didn't have it all. They sought to be healed. They sought to be cleansed of evil spirits. And Jesus was there helping and inputting into their lives, giving them the needs that they had, but focusing them on there's something bigger here. It's the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. And here is the hope. Now, what's interesting is that the religious people at Jesus' time didn't like who he was hanging out with. Remember that? They didn't like it too much. In Luke 5, 5 verse 30, it says, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples, why do you eat and drink with such scum? Jesus answered, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I have come not to call those who think that they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners and need to repent. And Jesus made time for those who knew they needed help. So Jesus used this three-dimensional lifestyle to change the world, to make disciples, and to build his kingdom. One of the biggest challenges for me today, and it's our culture that we're kind of, we walk to our house and we go inside, and the biggest snowstorm of the year happened a few weeks ago, right? And it's the time I get out and shovel and I meet all the neighbors because they're doing the same thing that I am, right? At the same time. And other times we're just kind of missing people. Do we see each other occasionally? Sure we do. But for me, this is a challenge. And again, Diane and I, we pray for each of our neighbors. We seek to develop relationships. We catch up on their family and connecting with them as well. But I am also challenged in this area of my life. So what about us? We don't need specific training on how to build friendships and relationships with others. I think we can do that. We just need to love others. That's what God has called us to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so who's God placing around you that he wants you to bless and encourage and just show his love to? What's one way, maybe even this week, that you can bless someone? And again, we need the Spirit's help in this. So what's God saying to us today? Are we living a one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional life? I know that I'm still growing on this. And it's not that we do it on our own. We need the Spirit's help in our life to do this. You know, some would look at this and say, well, maybe some are focused on our relationship up with God and with others, other believers in. So we have those two focuses in our lives, but we don't invest significantly in building relationships with those who are not yet a part of the family of God. And others are more passionate about spending time up with God and then maybe wanting to be out with the lost, right? But we try and do it on our own without the support of the family of God. Still, others are invested in the church and serving outside, but we don't spend much time up with the Father. Now, again, I'm working on this. God's helping me. And as we think about discipling like Jesus, this three-dimensional life, this way of Jesus' life, it's growing in this way. It's not stagnant. I'm always growing, always challenged. I continue, again, to meet with a group of people. I lead these groups, but I'm also part of a group myself that somebody else leads, that I need somebody just to pour into my life. I'm still growing and connecting with neighbors like Alan, Kim, and Hutch, and Angela, and Lonnie, and Mel. And sharing God's love. And I'm praying daily for opportunities just to grow in those relationships. Not treating people like projects, but trying to be the presence of Jesus into their lives. So what's God saying to each of us today? Where does he want you to grow in? Maybe it's in the up portion or the in portion or the out portion. Where is he calling you to grow and how will you respond? Let me just pray. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to hear from you and your word and to be challenged that you want us to continually grow in you. It's not that any of us have it all together, but Lord, you're still at work in us and you still desire to move in us, to grow in us, to help us to be more and more like you, like a little Jesus in the midst of our family, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, wherever we have connections. And just to continue to demonstrate this three-dimensional life that you've called us to. Lord, I thank you for Mountain View Church. Lord, you do have a future in mind for them. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to help them to focus and keep their eyes on you, but also help them to see the direction that you're leading them in and calling them to. And bless them today. Encourage them. And I pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.